It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My lord!
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
And welcome back. This is episode 75 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Thursday, September 24th, 2015.
Thursday.
This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about goalies, power plays, and aged beef.
Beef.
In the studio with me, as you've heard, is Kenny.
Yo, good to be back.
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
We have woken from our slumber.
No, and, not really.
Yeah, we hibernate for the summer.
Yeah. Brace yourself. Winter's coming. Right. And so it's three in the box.
We go hang out down in Antarctica.
All over your face.
What, aged beef?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, good grief.
We're back.
We could tell this is going to be a great season.
We're back.
Well, before we get too far into things here, just like to remind
That's
you.
That's what she said.
Oh, boy.
Before we get too far into the show, I'll just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. We try to live tweet games, and since we got some games coming up for too long here, hopefully you'll be able to catch us on there. And when we're not doing that, we're chastising the Wild for not airing these preseason games.
I haven't looked. NHL Network did have games on there. Did anybody see if they were showing any of the Wild games on there?
They were, but then they'd show them at 5 in the morning, tape delayed.
Well, I'd hope they're tape delayed at 5 in the morning.
Right. But they're not live.
They're not live?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. Blame Bettman.
There's always the radio.
And you know what? Bob Kurtz is a great man and a great announcer, but, you know, seeing is believing.
Hearing is knowing.
Hearing is knowing. Hopefully he's
knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
The more you know. Okay, I think we are...
And now a word from our sponsors.
Let's do this. So, you know, as we have alluded to, we're a few games into the preseason, and Nicklas Backstrom is still around, still kicking around, and he's done well. You know, he got a shutout two nights ago against Winnipeg. Of course, Dubnyk isn't going anywhere, and Kemper is still around as well. I feel like the questions surrounding our goalie just won't go away.
It's year three of what goalie is... Goalie round and round and round.
Spin the wheel of goalies. So did either of you two expect that we'd come into camp with all three of those men on the team?
I honestly didn't think that we would. Really, I mean, I think that Backstrom being back right now is probably... It says a lot for him. I'm sure that he had to work pretty hard to get back into playing shape. But yeah, I figured that they would play him out for injury and you know,
let him go on his way.
Right. But apparently things aren't working that way. Man wants to play.
He just seems like, you know, a bad STD that just won't go away. Just keeps coming back.
And he plays just well enough for you to get your hopes up that maybe he's turned it around. Maybe those, you know, all the hernias and all the weird injuries, they're all behind him. He's no longer 37 years old.
He's now 39.
You know, he gives you that little glimmer of hope.
Him and Brett Favre, they'll be coming back out of retirement and still trying to play.
So, I mean, what do you think, Fletcher?
Wranglers. In Wranglers?
In Wranglers.
And dick picks.
And dick. Is that going to be our next thing? Is Backstrom going to get charged with, well, no, he's not good enough to send anybody dick picks.
Well, not to go totally off topic here, but did you see that There's this woman who slept with Yarmir Yager.
Yes, dude, and that is hilarious.
Tried to blackmail him.
Oh, with the selfie?
The selfie of him passed out.
Right.
And I remember it was like 50,000, you know.
I thought I saw it as something very minimal of like $2,000.
It was like 50 or 20,000 of the check, whatever, I can't remember what their currency is. And, and the, you know, threatened to blackmail him, and he's like, I don't care. Go ahead. Send it.
What is he, early 40s now?
Right.
Single. If he's not sleeping with somebody half his age with where he's at, something, we should be more worried about that.
Right.
You know? Did you hear about her, though?
Yes. She happened to be dating a hockey player.
A Czech player.
Who looks up to said Yarmir Yager.
I think the only one in trouble.
Now they're Eskimo brothers.
They are.
Awkward.
You think they signed up for the EDBB? What?
EBDBDBD?
Yeah, that thing.
EBDB.
So, anyway, enough Yager talk. You've been listening to Yager talk on Three in the Box.
Except for Yager's not talking.
But anyway, back to Backstrom. You know, what do you think Fletcher's plan is at this point to do? I mean, are we going to go with three goalies yet again?
I don't think Fletcher has a plan for at this point, honestly. I mean, what do you do? You don't want to dump off Kemper at this point right now.
Kemper is going to be on for this season.
Right, and he's a young goaltender, you know, that, you know, he's shown that he can play, you know, maybe he has his ups and downs, but we're not ready to part ways with him yet, I don't think. And Dubnyk's not going anywhere.
If anything, we know Dubnyk is not going anywhere, right?
Right.
We got him for
that's,
what?
That's the one certain thing we know is he's not going
three
anywhere.
Three more years?
It was four? 4 years he was signed for.
Four.
But, and then you've got Backstrom and nobody in their right mind is going to take that.
I don't know if you saw what he did on Tuesday, you know.
Maybe he's up in the ante, and maybe somebody who's hurting out there needs a, you know.
Needs a 37-year-old injury-riddled backup.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you never know, I guess. But
has any other team got a player with MS that they need a backup for?
Oh, ouch. Who's Harding playing for now?
I'm not even going to go. I think I've already said too much at this point. So,
I don't know. This seems like we've asked this question now at the beginning of last season, the end of last season.
Multiple times during last season.
And now at the beginning of this season of what's going to happen to Backstrom. It's like a where's Waldo gone bad? Like, what's Backstrom doing? Where's Backstrom going?
Right.
There was talk about, you know, if they could possibly send him over to Europe, and he could play there. But I think if he goes there, I don't think another team can sign him, but the Wild can't bring him back for the season or something.
The Wild are still paying him one way
or
another.
Paying him. There is some clause where they could send him down to Iowa.
But that said, I mean, right, what do we have behind them? You right. know? If a goalie does fall early in the season, mid-season, I mean, at least you got something.
Yeah. And we knew that was a problem last year.
Right.
You know, where we had zero depth. You know, when you got Curry playing, you know, time. Things are not in a good situation there.
But, I mean, honestly, what team has more than a two-goalie depth? I mean,
you usually have at least a kid in the minors.
In the minors, but Backstrom is neither A, a kid, or B, in the minors.
And that's where the problem comes in. We don't have somebody we can flip-flop and really send back and forth.
If we had at least a middling prospect in the American League that we could bring up in the case of injury, you got to figure Backstrom would be gone. But we don't have that yet.
Right.
So maybe that's what's forcing Fletcher's hand. He's like, I'm just going to see how this shakes out. And, you know, if I got to, you know, leave one a healthy scratch, you know, game to game, you know, so be it.
So we're just going to go with a three-goalie system?
Yeah.
Three in the crease.
Three in the crease.
So
it could work.
Well, speaking of that, you know, we're ushering in the new season here. I mean, we all do have high hopes for the Wild this season, I'm sure. exactly. The goaltending situation, despite having too many, it's pretty solid. We got a core of veteran players that are returning and also a lot of great young talent. He's entering his fifth year as the Wild head coach now. So, I'm guessing that, expectations for him are also high. So where do you guys think it's going to go this year? Will the Wild get to go a little bit deeper into the playoffs?
Well, I got this one.
Get past their, get past their nemesis, the Chicago Blackhawks, who constantly, put the kibosh on any of our playoff dreams or hopes.
That kind of, leads to my answer of your first question of, will they go deeper in the playoffs? I'm going to say they're going to go as deep as Chicago. And so if they happen to get lucky enough where they don't play Chicago, perfect. Otherwise, we see Chicago in the first round.
Even with Chicago being in the shambles that they are, they've lost a lot of talent.
They've lost a ton of talent. Well,
yeah. Sharp is now in Dallas.
So is Oduya.
And Oduya. Kane is in Buffalo waiting trial or arraignment.
Nope, Kane's playing.
Kane's free.
Yeah.
Well,
for now.
Currently.
Yeah. You know, and if you... I don't think we're announcing news to anyone, but, there's rape allegations against Kane, so that are still working its way through the legal system.
Was just reading an article today, and I don't remember who it was by, talking about Kane, and that, Bettman's going to have to do something on this quick. He can't just turn a blind eye to this anymore. Kind of like what the NFL did last year with Peterson and what's his name that beat his girlfriend in the elevator. And then
Ray Rice,
where basically the commissioner stepped in and goes and was like, hey, as long as these allegations are going on, you got to go deal with your personal court stuff and you're not allowed to be a part of this organization.
And in fairness, Bettman was pretty quick when Voinoff was.
And that's, that also got brought up in that same article of, Voinoff basically being stripped of playing until, things were settled, which, I would put. Rape allegation and wife beating, close to the same level.
Right, they're both very serious, and then it's
that begs another question: do you really want to punish these guys when they haven't actually been convicted of anything yet? They haven't been tried by a court. They haven't, been proven guilty of anything. Are you going to strip them of their livelihood?
I do think,
on an allegation.
I do think, though, you've proven that, and I think Kane's case is particular, that he's shown he is capable of making poor decisions time and again.
Yeah.
It's not like this
dimes.
not his first time to the rodeo.
I think it was like, a summer or two ago, and he was choking a woman in a bar or something like that. So
that's what she said.
He's got a history here. He, at the very least, he's putting himself in poor positions, even if he didn't do anything.
I agree with that. I know, sorry to branch off into other sports here, but Pittsburgh quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, I know there was a few years there where he kept finding himself in some poor situations and getting, allegations or the like put against him for this and that. And it does. It tarnishes your image. And I don't know. It happens in all facets of life too, because I do remember actually a local doctor here pediatrician who I actually I had went to him as a young kid, and I never had any problems or anything with him. But he was still practicing when my oldest daughter, you know, needed a pediatrician. So that's where I brought her. And then some things came out in the news. Eventually, he wasn't, you know, found guilty of anything. But, I mean, at that point, his image has been, it's been tarnished. So he can't really practice anymore, like, you know, so.
Right.
I mean.
Well, but Kane's lucky, and he possesses a talent that someone will pay for, allegation or not.
Yeah, it's called his lawyer.
Right. Well, that also calls into question all the bungling police work that's going on in Buffalo. But we won't delve too much into that. Obviously, there's some issues going on there. Back to the topic of, you know, the Blackhawks. They're dismantled team compared to, you know, what they were.
Right.
Will they still have that, presence on the ice? Right. I don't know. Problem is, though, the rest of the division is getting better still. It is still the division of death.
Very true.
And
even if it's not Chicago, I mean, we've got Colorado, who is, you know, I think might be a little bit better of a team than they were last year.
Dallas is obviously better. At least on paper, they are better.
Yep. St. Louis, really, I mean, they were tough last year, and they're going to be tough again this year.
Yeah. Winnipeg up north, nothing to, you know.
It's going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. Will they go deeper in the playoffs? I think it really comes down to can they get through this division? You know, if they can get through this division, hey, anything's possible once it comes to playoffs.
And I guess that's my thought, is if they can put together a solid season and come out on top of that division, that tough, tough division, and get some home ice advantage going into the playoffs, I think that they definitely could go a lot further in the playoffs this year. So I guess that's my hopes for what what goes on this year.
So
what one other question though, real quick. Who do you guys think currently on the Wild roster, who do you think is going to, you know, make the biggest impact for the Wild this year?
You know, I want it to be Granlund, but I think it's actually going to be Dumba. I think this is going to be Dumba's year to he's going to make us question whether or not we need to keep Spurgeon.
And you stole my thunder there, because, I mean, Dumba is right where I was going to head with that. I mean, last year he's proven to us that he's capable. He's good defensively. He's got an offensive presence. He can find the net. And I think this year that I think he might have a breakout year this year, and just, you know.
Apparently, during the pre-coach practices and scrimmages, he was playing in pretty deep and showing some speed and showing he wants to be down in the offensive zone. So, Aaron, I think you're right. I mean, I think if Dumba, you know, some of that emerges, he's going to take over or fill the shoes of where Spurgeon's at currently.
I mean, all you got to do is look at the game on Tuesday. You know, it was a one-zip game. Who had the goal? It was Dumba.
Three-on-three.
It was three-on-three, and that was on three-on-three. He's the one defenseman on the ice, and he's scoring the goal.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get some looks. He's got to get some decent looks in the power plays, and we know he can score. So
right. He's no longer Dumba 55.
Yeah, it's still weird seeing the 24. It's like I go, Cook? What? You know, my brain kind of breaks seeing it, you know?
Cook, real quick, has been playing with some of the Wild boys out in Edina. I think Parisi was out there and some of the other guys. He's still looking for a team, actually, thinking he's going to maybe do it. If nobody picks him up, he's talking about retirement. And Ballard, too, was basically thinking he was going to hang up the skates, at least as a player.
Right.
So, Anybody going to the X this year has some new security checks to go through, or procedures, I guess. So all fans, media, vendors, and staff will now have to pass through a walkthrough metal detector. You won't have to remove your jacket, shoes, belts, keys, watches, or coins, but must place cameras and cell phones in a bin before passing through. Oh, and if you want to leave to smoke, just like the airport, you have to do it all over again on your way back in.
Welcome to the TSA at the XL.
So, you know, how is leaving, you know, just like, I had some actually extremely pleasant experiences at the airport recently. Four of us, all with...
Did they give you the full body search?
No.
Is that why it was pleasant for you?
No, surprisingly, on 9/11, as we're flying out with a bunch of electronics and, you know, musical gear, there was four of us, from the time we walked into the airport, got through ticketing, and got through TSA, it was 15 minutes.
Oh, time of day, though, matters a lot. And
This is like 4:15 p.m.
That doesn't mean anything, no. Though. Depending on what their flight load is.
But
you know.
Surprisingly, yeah. It was just kind of crazy. Like, I was expecting a lot more. Don't take
that as TSA is good, because...
No, absolutely not. But so you know, you can walk through this metal detector with keys, watch, belt, coins, you know, basically loaded with metal. You're probably going to set it off. So what are they going to do? They're going to more than likely just wand you like they like they have been currently.
Right.
But you have to check your phone and your camera going through. So, I mean, does this make you guys feel more secure?
No, that's they're nabbing your phone so they can hit the NFC and charge all your mobile payments now, with your Android Pay or your Apple Pay or your Samsung Pay, whatever you got.
What about your Windows Mobile Pay?
Is there one of those?
No, not yet.
BlackBerry Pay.
BlackBerry Pay. No, BlackBerry's coming over to the Android world. No.
So. Palm Prepay.
Palm Pre. Oh. That's a throwback.
Nokia Brick Phone Pay.
That's the second time I've heard Palm Pre in a day.
Nokia Brick Phone Pay.
It's got a ring to it, I swear.
It does.
Is that like collecting the coins while playing Snake?
Yeah, you gotta beat Snake to be able to pay.
So. You guys feel more secure about this, or is this more of a hassle?
Well, you gotta figure they're obviously looking for guns, I'm guessing, because that's about the only thing that this process would stop.
I kind of want to go in with a pocket full of quarters, like just coming from the arcade to see what happens.
But you do notice, though, this means it'll be easier to smuggle in booze.
Yeah, well, we've never had an issue.
We've never had an issue, but this will make it easier, you know.
Not necessarily. I mean, my guess is that they actually put those into... Hopefully, probably speed up the process. But they're gonna have people, you know, pull out a cell phone and a camera, whatever. Then you're gonna walk through. If you beep or something, then they're gonna, you know, have to spend the time to wand you.
See,
but the bulk of people will just be able to probably.
No, but that's gonna be the problem. It's gonna be like when you're going.
Everybody's going.
No, it's gonna be like when you're going through TSA and you're stuck behind an old person or a person who never flies.
Right.
And it's like, my God, they say like 20 times, you gotta take your damn shoes off. Take your damn shoes off. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
You know, 9/11 was 14 years ago.
But my feet stink.
Yes, you have to take your laptop out of its bag. Come on now, people. Right. No, you can't take scissors with you on the plane.
Oh. Well, no, you can if they're the rounded ones, I think.
Or it's under a certain length.
Yeah.
But people are stupid, and it's. I'm sure if you look through those bins at TSA and see what people try to bring on the plane. Yeah. I was stuck, just like a month ago, I was stuck behind a lady who had full giant bottles of shampoo she was trying to bring onto the plane.
But I have a lot of hair.
It was like 20 ounces. I was like, you got a carry-on with 20 ounces. 20 ounces of your carry-on bag is shampoo. How many times are you going to wash your hair on that three-day week trip here?
Maybe she does hair for a living.
That's a bit of a stretch, I got to say.
You never know. recently, though, we attended a game for a different league.
Yeah.
And there they forced us to empty out all of our pockets, you know?
Well, oh, yeah, I could see that. Did you have to walk through metal detectors? Did you get wanded?
We got wanded. Well, no, we didn't get wanded.
Did they pat you down?
No, they just looked at you, and they didn't pat you down either.
Nope.
Actually, well, they may have felt your pockets.
Yeah, just to make sure you emptied everything out and they saw everything.
And see, maybe that's been an issue, too, because I remember last year, I don't remember getting touched walking through. It was just getting wanded.
Right.
The year before, I remember getting patted down, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the patting down slows things down. If they're really worried about, you know, danger, you know, doing metal detectors and just having people walk through, aside from the people that are idiots and don't know that, you know, there's a giant piece of metal in their belt buckle or, you know, have a titanium plate in their head.
Right.
You know, aside from those people, things should be a little bit faster, I think.
Well, you know, and that's what I was thinking, too. They are opening the gates 75 minutes earlier to allow extra time going through. So are they expecting to stop everybody anyways? Like, I mean, if you're allowed to carry that much stuff on, I would have to think that everybody's going to be walking through just normally.
Yeah, I don't know. What about smartwatches? I understand that you have to have security. Smartwatches, I mean, yeah. No, it's just a watch, sure. I mean, I don't know what to say about this. You got to have security. It's a hassle.
Well, you don't want people just coming in with guns and knives.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, you know, 99.9% of the time, everything is fine and honky-dory. But, I mean, it's that 0.1% of the time that you're going to wish you had something in place, right. You know, to cover that.
Or maybe, you know, maybe, and maybe this whole change is going to really piss off the concealed carry folks. Because I'm pretty sure when you walk in, it says, you know, guns are banned on this premise, you know.
This is true.
And, you know, maybe they're just trying to get rid of that and make sure that guns actually aren't coming in there.
Well, okay, and I think, I'm pretty sure it was last year, one of the games we had gone to, I had just gotten off of work, so I still had my Leatherman on me, and I still had my knife in my pocket, and I'm pretty sure I got beeped, and they just passed me, they didn't even check to see what it was. I think it was like, okay, go ahead. Like, I mean, what
was that again?
What they don't exactly say what they're checking for here with these updated security measures, just that they've updated the security measures.
And that's the other thing. Updated security measures. I mean, not even just here. We're constantly improving technologies. I have to think that they could come up with a better way, a better system, a better machine for, you know, checking for things that's a lot less invasive. That is,
it'll be like TSA.
A lot quicker.
You're going to get bombarded with X-rays, and then you'll grow a third testicle, and you'll have more kids because that testicle's unblocked. You know,
right? So it'll be like hockey in Springfield with the Simpsons, right?
with Blinky, the three-eyed fish.
Right.
Oh, is that what you're calling him now?
That's what she said.
Well, technically they call him Blinky first, but yes. I don't know. If it wasn't broken, why fix it? I mean, I haven't really heard of anything major happening at the X that would require this. Although I might be in partner with the NHL.
That could be.
Trying to enforce more stuff.
I remember the NFL did something similar a few years back where they said they were going to
across the league.
Right.
This is what we're enforcing, though.
So maybe they're just falling in line with an NHL directive, you know.
But I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. So,
well, on an unrelated note, you know, shortly before training camp started, word came out that Parisi had brought in Adam Oates, his former coach from New Jersey, obviously a great player, you know, before that. And a great power play player at that. you know, to work with him and a few other Wild players on their power play. These were informal workouts, so it doesn't really impact, you know, the Wild coaching staff. Russo unequivocally states that this isn't some sort of shot at Wild coaching staff, and that, you know, Parisi often talks with other coaches and players and tries to just become a better player, you know?
Yeah. If you're not trying to improve, you're not trying.
Right. But with that being said, the Wild has had one of the worst power plays last year. I remember the beginning of last year was just...
Oh, it was atrocious. We had more goals against than power play goals. I mean, aren't we like negative, by our counting, like negative two or negative
three? Right, because we had given up shorthanded goals on our power plays. So it was really bad. So with that, you know, would the Wild be wise to bring someone other than Andrew Brunette to oversee the power play? Or is Bruno just a scapegoat and that, you know, at the end of the day, the players have got to play?
That I think that's what it comes down to. They have to perform on the ice. And if it's, you know, a system issue with, like, what their system is when they're working the power play, then that's more on the head coach than to either, you know, implement a different power play system or, you know. I don't think that Andrew Brunette is the main culprit. I mean, it takes people to perform, and it also takes some bounces, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times, a lot of power play goals, yes, they come under the man advantage, but, you know, something gets deflected, you know?
Right. In the league in general now, there's very few just clean shots.
Clean shots, right.
That aren't getting dirty or aren't getting deflected, bouncing, something like that.
Exactly.
And it takes it's rare that a player is good enough where they're doing that consistently.
Yeah.
You know. But at the same point, maybe to your point with the coaching, maybe it's a matter of personnel on those power plays as well. You know? I know a lot has been made online of Suter's involvement on the power play.
Yeah, he's not necessarily a what you'd call the most offensive defenseman.
No, but I'm still going to go back saying I like having Suter on the power play because you could easily put four forwards up there and have him take the blue line by himself. He's not stepping up, taking the shots, but you kind of have that peace of mind of having a very solid blue line player back there where you could have four forwards that are stepping up a little bit more.
But at that token, aren't you then basically even strength? If you're conceding one player, aren't you basically...
You'd still have him at the point to take a pass, to make a pass to.
Right.
But you can forecheck... cycle
a puck around.
You can forecheck four guys then at that point rather than just your normal three. So you're going to have a little bit of an increased forecheck there. I can agree with Kenny's point there. But that said, though, too, I would love to see, you know, Dumba get some chances with that first line power play this year and, you know, see what a little bit more offense on the power play would give us.
Right. All right, and maybe just even cutting. I mean, we've got a very solid D-core. Maybe we don't need Suter playing, you know, 150 minutes a game.
Right.
You know, maybe we can cut back his ice time, just so he's more productive when he is on the ice, you know.
So he doesn't just have to stride.
Right. He can hustle a little from time to time, you know. Okay, well.
Speaking of less players on the ice, Jive.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about less players, they came out with the new rule this year, which, you know, basically will send if it's a tie game after the third period, you obviously go to the 4-on-4, which we've been doing here.
We will not, actually.
We will not.
Is that implemented for sure? I thought they were just trying it in the preseason.
In the AHL, they were going to go, in the AHL, when they tried this out, mm-hmm. They went for the 4-on-4 for 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then went to 3-on-3.
Yeah.
The NHL is saying, nope, we're going straight to 3-on-3.
Oh, so they're doing it straight to the 3-on-3.
For 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes.
So.
And then we still have the shootout.
And we still have the shootout. But
3-on-3 opens up the ice. Yeah. They're obviously making this rule because, you know, there's, you know, I can't disagree. There was, you know, numerous shootouts and far too many for my liking, really. So, basically, this should hopefully maybe eliminate the need to always have to go to the shootout by opening things up a little bit.
Well, and I thought one of the interesting quirks of the rule, maybe it's a feature, I don't know, was that if a team, not including a delayed penalty, but if a team pulls their goalie, you know, to basically increase their rush,
sure,
and an empty net goal is scored against them, they lose their overtime point.
Really?
Yeah. So you're not going to see teams like trying to cheat. When I say cheat, I mean
cheat, like
get an advantage,
right?
Not necessarily nefarious, but if a team tries that, they're putting a lot on the line, you know. But sometimes, you know, at the end of the season, they might need that 2 points, and that 1 point doesn't matter as much, you know.
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, with them potentially losing a point, their point by pulling their goalie. And with the number 3 and the 3-on-3, that we can get closer to our true three-point system.
Yeah.
That we used to. Well, NHL had that for a while, didn't they, before the lockout in the 90s? Or is it always
they used to play till it was done.
Well, there was that, too.
Yeah.
Or, depending on your version of done.
Well, it was, yeah.
If you think a tie is done.
Yeah, I guess they would. But that was another full 20 minutes?
Yeah, full 20, and then if it ended after that, then it was a tie.
Then it was a tie, and each team would get one point. Which the points are evenly distributed there. So,
yep.
I mean, that's...
No, it makes perfect sense. There,
yeah, so...
No, but I think it will get interesting towards the end of the year when a team needs the extra points.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're set up in their, you know, offensive zone, why not pull the goalie and go for it? It can make some interesting situations at the very least.
You know? So you're thinking that this will impact during regulation the amount of times that the goalies are pulled?
No, this would only be that only counts during the 3-on-3 portion.
Just during the 3-on-3.
Just portion. During the 3-on-3.
Okay.
So you could give up your bonus point, your overtime loss point, if you pull your goalie.
Okay.
Now, what are they going to do if a team takes a penalty during that?
Delayed penalties don't count.
Not delayed penalties. Say, like, a tripping penalty.
They will add players.
So they are going to do that, because that was being done, and it was, like, the SHL or Southern Hockey League or something like that, that has had a 3-on-3 implemented into their system for a while now.
Yep.
Where they were doing it differently. I think they were kind of doing it like the AHL was, where it was a 4-on-4. And then down to a 3-on-3. But I think even with the 4-on-4, if a team took a penalty, say a tripping or, you know, like an actual penalty, not a delay of game penalty, the other team could put in, or they were allowed to put in an extra player. So at that, there is an addition to instead of a subtraction.
Right. Yeah. You cannot have fewer than 3 guys on the ice, is basically what it comes down to. So if they had another penalty, you'd have 5 guys on the ice.
It'd be 5-on-3.
Yeah.
So do you guys think this will reduce the amount of shootouts that we have?
It's got to. I mean, it has
to. We've always seen more goals with more open eyes.
Right. And it's going to be fun because it's also going to be the long change. So
That's right.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out, because you're going to have guys that are possibly out of position. You're going to probably have some good breakaways.
Guys.
You're gonna have some tired guys. It's gonna be very fun to watch.
Because I mean, yeah, you're gonna probably have more skating, less passing going on with the 3-on-3.
Right.
So moving the puck up the ice, you're definitely gonna be traveling a little bit more.
And you know, there's been times where we've had 3-on-3 in regulation, you know, just because of penalties. And you can search for YouTube for the videos, but almost, you know, without fail, they're all just, it's like, wow, this is like. It's nonstop action, you know.
Back and forth.
And way more exciting than a shootout, you know.
So, do you think that it'll this rule then will maybe favor the Wild, or do you think that the Wild will be at a disadvantage for this?
I think it depends on who they put on the ice. It'll be really interesting to see who they go with.
Right. Do you put three forwards on the ice?
I don't think you do, but...
Do you put two forwards and a defenseman?
I'm thinking who you choose as your forwards is really going to be... I would pick Europeans, skilled Europeans, because they're used to playing on a larger sheet of ice.
Yeah.
They're used to working with that more of that space. And, you know, put someone like Granlund on there. Maybe he's getting points now in those situations because...
Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it. I guess I hadn't even looked at it from that or thought about it from that angle of, you know, yeah, if the Europeans grew up playing on a larger sheet of ice like that, used to the more open space, it makes 100% sense.
So maybe you know, Niederreiter, Granlund, you know, put them with Brodin or something like that, you know, as your D man. And
yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to some of the lineups from some of the teams around the leagues to see who they're putting out, what combinations they're doing as well. But I mean, it's going to be a tough call to, you know, say if this is actually going to be an advantage or a disadvantage, I think, to almost any team.
Well, yeah. And I guess the way that I look at it, I mean, it would be a situational basis, but you know, one game, you might just be looking to get out of there with a point, you know? So you may play two defensemen and a forward.
So do they say who has to give up their line first? Is it the away team or the home team?
I don't know.
Because I think there's a rule for that always anyways. Like, you know... Once
I feel like it's the road team.
Yeah, well, because the home team always gets to match lines.
And the road team is always like in the NHL, the road team is always like the second class citizen. I mean,
right.
There's a reason there's such a huge home ice advantage, and it's because of
all 18,000 people
or 19, depending on, you know, the day.
Yeah. And if the fire marshal's around or not. Yeah.
So team of 18,000, team of 10,000 lakes, team of,
you're all about the numbers, right? The
numbers.
Yeah.
And we got 12 days of hockey hell coming up this season, as I would like to think of them as hockey hell. So the Wild.
Tell us how you really feel.
The Wild broadcast schedule has been released, and 12 regular season games will be broadcast on either NBC or NBCSN. Including the season opener in Colorado and the Stadium Series game.
You know who we'll see there?
Pierre.
Michael Granlund.
Granlund.
So, all right. In 12 games, give me the over-under on A, how many times our buddy Pierre will be seen, or how many games he'll be at, and B, how many hashtag shut up Pierres we will end up tweeting.
I'm going to go with A, 2.
You think he'll only be at 2 of the 12 games? I think he'll only
be at 2 because he'll be out there covering Pittsburgh, which will be the late game. Oh. Or no, that'll be the early game.
We can only hope that it's only 2.
And then how many shut up Pierres?
Not enough.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with about 50 from Kenny and 3 from Aaron and 178 from the rest of the crowd.
Okay, so here's my count looking at the schedule.
Did you add that up for me?
79.
Okay. All right, thanks.
No problem. So here's my count for a number of Pierre sightings. We're going to have one with the game at Pittsburgh. That's a no-brainer.
That's a given.
We've got 2 games versus Chicago. I figure he's a given at those two.
You think the one Stadium Series.
And so we know he's going to be there, right?
Unless Atlanta or Florida's playing somewhere.
Yeah, but a lot of these other ones, I don't, you know, maybe... Maybe the Montreal game. maybe St. Louis, maybe L.A. I'm going to put it at 4 where we see Pierre. That's about where I'm comfortable at.
We could probably bet on this in Vegas.
Probably could.
All right, so you're going with 4, Aaron?
I'm going with 4.
Okay.
And how many shut up Pierres? Again, not enough.
Not enough. So let's see. Yeah, you're right with the Pittsburgh. How many Chicago's did you count?
I counted 2.
I'm seeing at least 3.
Oh, 3. Okay.
Don't forget NBC and NBCSN. So we got...
Oh, I may have missed an NBC in there. Oh, yep, I did.
Montreal, probably not. L.A., maybe. Philly? You think he'll be... No. Philly is not Pittsburgh. New Jersey? No. Anaheim, no.
He's got a rep to keep in Pittsburgh.
St. Louis, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like he's going to show up in St. Louis. So
I might go with 5 of them. 5 out of 12.
What if he gets a GM position in the middle of the year?
Oh, can we only hope.
The new GM of your Minnesota Wild.
Oh! Oh, let's not hope for that. Yeah, so, all right, yeah, I thought the 5 and... Yes, not enough shut up peers. I'm totally agreeing with that.
Well, speaking of coaching.
Oh, yeah.
Coaching. Right. And speaking of hell, the Wild assistant coach, Daryl Sador, we'll just say he found himself in a little bit of trouble as summer was coming to an end and the hockey season was approaching. He was stopped by the police here. And found to be intoxicated. Besides just being intoxicated, he also had his 12-year-old son in the car with him. He was transporting him to a hockey game.
Right. Mom was out of town.
Yeah. In Canada.
Right. Yeah. Oh, Canada. All right. And so, yeah. I mean, Sador's issues with alcohol, they really weren't an unknown thing. He did... go into treatment last summer, the summer of 2014.
Yep.
So, I mean, driving intoxicated, that's one thing. But, you know, having the 12-year-old in the car with him, I mean, how bad does that make it?
Well, a lot.
It's a bad thing, but also we're not talking like he just had a beer and just was a little over. He had a .30. I mean, that would...
Most people would be falling over.
Right. puking on themselves or blacked out.
And so maybe he can just handle it well.
If he's a raging alcoholic, he might be able to. That's a very valid point. That's still a very high blood alcohol content.
It is.
I hope he gets better. But, having the kid in the car, that's
serious. I mean, I think don't quote me on this, but I think it takes it close to felony, if not felony territory automatically with a
child endangerment.
I think I can't remember if it's 16 or if it's 8. If the child's under 16 or under 18, it automatically like ups the count.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, being that far over the legal limit already makes it at least a gross misdemeanor, if not felony.
Two gross to misdemeanor counts.
Is that, that's what he's looking at?
Yep, and second degree driving while impaired. Yeah.
So, I mean, how will this impact the Wild's coaching lineup? I mean, they already had a plethora of coaches behind the bench there. Do you see the Wild trying to add another coach at this point, or...
I think the quote from Yo is, hey, we're just going to let him get better. Yeah. I don't think he's out right now. I know he checked himself into rehab out in California, an inpatient treatment center.
Treatment, yep.
So we'll see. I mean, it sounds like he's got some support behind him.
So, do you think that he should be allowed to rejoin the Wild at this point? I mean, we just got done talking about
Well, he hasn't
Kane, and
it's not like he hasn't left. So I mean, he's still there's no rejoining, I guess, at this point. He hasn't been fired or put on suspension or leave.
Fair enough, but similarly to how we were talking about Kane, you know, earlier. I mean, is this a situation where the commissioner needs to step in and, you know, set examples, or is it?
Well,
you
know? I think it's a little bit. It's definitely not nearly as far in the spotlight. If you went to, say, New York and you said Patrick Kane, people would know who you're talking about. If you said Daryl Sador, they'd look at you most of the time, I'm guessing, and go, who?
Yeah. Well, I think there's also a difference is that, you know, Sador's got an addiction problem.
Yep.
And that's viewed differently than crimes where you've got... Obviously, there's a victim in his kid, but at the same point, I doubt in a clear and sober mind he would ever want to do that to his kid. But
you could make the same argument then for Kane that he's got an addiction. He likes
raping people. That is not the same. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well.
Yager might be an addiction with you know, wanting to have sex with a Czech model.
Okay, I could buy the Yager one.
He could have a sex addiction.
Sure. Who knows? And I don't see the...
Kane, I guess, could have a sex addiction, too, just not with people with consent.
I just don't see the league clamping down on someone who's got an addiction problem.
Yeah.
If they're trying to get better.
No, and that this isn't the first time addiction has come up with the NHL in recent times either.
Right.
I mean,
and not just for alcohol.
No, you know, right. Drugs, you know, mainly prescription painkillers, right. Or what started off as prescription.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if it's something like that where they're going to look at it as an addiction issue,
yeah.
They already have treatment and I guess help programs in yep. place to help that type.
Yeah, most employers.
A little bit more on the public facing side,
right.
Due to recent events, and I think that's how they're going to look at it and treat it.
Hey, you got to look at, you know, Ryan O'Reilly. He had a Dewey this summer. I don't think he's going to be suspended for that. Yeah. Mike Richards caught with drugs.
quite a bit
in Vegas. So
he already had gotten let go of from LA at that point.
So the league handles substance abuse differently than it does felonious crimes, you know, and there's a difference is that if Kane is ever charged, it'll be a felony, whereas it doesn't sound like Sador will be a felony.
Yeah. Okay.
So other previous hockey players. I just realized I mistyped Nanny as Nana.
Lunana.
Lou Nanny is putting his name on a new steakhouse in Edina. You know, Nanny said he had been offered restaurant opportunities before, but he didn't want the typical, you know, sports bar most athletes put their name on, you know, I guess. Joe Sensor,
Rosen's.
Rosen, who was the?
I guess Rosen wasn't a sport.
He's sports related.
Sports related. Yeah. Who was the Viking benchwarmer Bob?
Benchwarmer Bob. Yep.
There's a bunch throughout the nation.
But
go to any town and there's some former athlete's sports bar. You know,
but wasn't there one in Pittsburgh that we walked past?
There was, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I just saw one in Indy, too.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like you say, every town, yeah.
But, you know, he said he didn't want the typical, that sports bar, same menu, burgers, wings.
He wanted aged beef.
He wanted aged beef. He wanted nice prime select cuts of meat that he could, you know, put his name on.
Aged man meat. You know, for a man to eat.
For a man to eat some aged beef.
So
you know, looking at the timing of this, it's expected to open February 2016, which coincidentally happens to be around the same, you know, the same month as the stadium series.
Yeah.
And right before the high school hockey playoffs that he's obviously a big part of. I think it'd be great for him to open it up at that time because he's going to have just a ton of flow from, definitely, you know, hockey players and sports people coming in to check out his aged beef. But
just saying that gave me a semi.
So, you know, a hockey player meets or beefs or aged meat beefs.
Isn't beef already pluralized? Do we need to say beefs?
Beefs?
No. I got beefs with you.
Well, you know. Yeah. So, anyways, who's coming with me to get some of Nanny's aged beef?
You want some of his aged beef in your mouth?
It could be. I don't know. It's probably nice and tender by now.
Might be a little salty.
Could be a little.
Nope.
This is going totally off track here.
What do you guys think of him opening it up in Edina? Why not?
They like salty old man meat out there.
There is a lot of that.
Do they put any special sauce on top?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
That's not a Bernays sauce.
I mean, Edina is a good spot for it, probably, just because, I mean,
wasteland?
Suburb. It's not a wasteland. I mean, it's a well-aged suburb.
There's a lot of aged beef around there.
Exactly. No, but
a wealthier part of town?
Partially. I mean, Edina has its parts though too, where
yeah.
You know. But yeah, for the most part, I mean,
nope.
Every day I need attention.
Right. For the most part though, yeah. I mean, the clientele around there and the surrounding suburbs are probably, you know,
you're going to have people from Eden Prairie going, "We want to go into the big city and have some Lou Nanny's meat."
Well, you know, when we're talking about this pre-show, Aaron, you had mentioned that they're really, it's all chains around there.
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, although, you know, this is under Parasol, who owns a...
Parasolet,
who, you know, they own a ton of different restaurants. Right. In fact, I believe they own a couple around that area.
Isn't Pittsburgh Blue under Parasolet?
They might be. A lot of times Parasolet branches them off, though, too. They used to own, like, Buca di Beppo.
I know they own the Rojo. Rojo? Yeah, Rojo.
Yeah. They do a lot of different ones.
Which I believe there's one of those.
I think that they're more of an overall...
Well, they're a restaurant and investment company is what they are.
Yeah.
But they are getting the chef from Manny's to do it. So, I mean...
Can't go wrong there.
You know, if you're going to go get some of Nanny's aged beef, have it done right by somebody who knows how to cook aged beef.
Instead of going to Manny's, you go to Nanny's. But, so that said, that means that I'm going to probably end up going here if I want to go here. And I'm going to be spending about, you know, $200 or $300 to...
Who knows?
To feed myself and my wife, you know,
potentially. I know they
you say that like it's a bad thing. You know, you're going to get some good steak at that point, though, right?
Hey, we got no sponsors on this podcast.
What are you talking about?
Send us your money, please. Yeah. We're starving here.
Click the donate button now.
Do we have that up yet?
This is going to be like a NPR telecast. Our server costs are really expensive. They're in the tens of dollars.
Us three humble hockey fans cannot afford to go eat at Lou Nanny's. Please donate to send us to go eat some aged beef.
Or just send us meat. We'll eat that, too.
Or just make sure Lou Nanny knows we talked about him on our podcast, and he brings us in there for a nice meal.
Well, speaking of that, he did say he's planning on spending a lot of time there. As the number one taste tester. So, you know, there could be a good chance of walking in and seeing Lou Nanny.
Hey. Guts are bad. We better hurry up and wrap this show
up.
Can
you tell hockey has not really started yet?
We're talking about Nanny's aged beef.
We spent 10 minutes talking about beef.
It's what's for dinner.
We are in rare form this early preseason.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, well, should we?
Let's wrap this thing
get
up.
Get it out of here. Yeah, we probably bugged these people long enough anyways. They're like, shut up already.
So, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find my personal Twitter account. It's at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about pinball and beer, and that's about it, actually, I think. A little hockey in there as well. Kenny, what do you got?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999. You know, I got some live audio picks and, you know, some pinball stuff, other random crap, aged beef, maybe.
Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter as well, at JiveMidnight. Let's wrap this thing up.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Peace.
Hello!
Aged beef.
It's what's for dinner.